The hearing in docket TC07-117 is reconvened following a short recess. Mr. Gerdes, you may call your next witness on behalf of the petitioner.
Midcontinent calls August Ancom to the stand. Would you state your name, please?
My name is August H. Ancom.
Where do you reside?
1027 Arch, Suite 304, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19107.
What is your occupation?
I'm an economist and telecommunications consultant.
And you have filed testimony in this docket?
Yes, I have.
And is it also your intention to adopt Warren Fisher's testimony?
Yes.
And why is that?
Warren Fisher is a colleague of mine at QSI, and he had conflicting engagements and cannot be testifying today.
And I will ask you, do you adopt Mr. Fisher's testimony as your own?
Yes, I do.
And if you were... Would you please look at Exhibits 1, 2,
yes.
5, and 6?
Yes.
All right. First, as to Exhibits 1 and 2, which are the Fisher Direct and Fisher Resume, it's your testimony that you adopt that, is that correct?
Yes.
You've read it?
Yes.
And if you were sworn to testify and ask the same questions, would your answers be the same?
Yes, they would be.
And then if you would look at Exhibits 5 and 6, is that also testimony? Is that testimony that you have prepared?
Yes, it is.
And you've read it?
Yes.
And if you were asked those same questions, would your answers be the same?
Yes, they would be.
Do you have any corrections to the Fisher testimony?
No, I don't.
Do you have any corrections to your testimony?
No, I don't.
Okay. Would you please summarize your testimony for the commission, please?
Yes. My testimony addresses what I think is before the commission and what I think is the central question in public utility regulation, as I explained yesterday to Jake, who was visiting your offices. The central question, I believe, of public utility regulation is how to fairly balance the interest of ratepayers against the interest of stockholders. I believe, reading the testimony of staff, that staff has first and foremost in mind the interest of ratepayers. But there's no discussion in staff's testimony of the interest, the legitimate interest of stockholders that Mr. Simmons was talking about this morning in response to your questions. Switch access charges that are at stake here are wholesale charges that carriers like Midcontinent charge to other carriers. And the question now is, how shall you set those rates for those wholesale rates? My testimony is going to be, or is in my written testimony, that the tradition for setting rates at the wholesale level is to set rates commensurate with cost. In other words, rates should give companies a reasonable opportunity to recover the legitimately incurred cost. If they don't, then they're competitively handicapped. So I think that's the issue before you. Now, staff, in its recommendation and its testimony, is recommending a policy that basically says that Midcontinent, irrespective of its own cost, has to enter into deals that have been negotiated by other carriers. First, they recommend that Midcontinent is mirroring the rates of Quest, which is a radically different company one of the largest companies in the world with huge economies of scale and scope. So that's point one. Mid-Continent doesn't look like that. So the question arises, why would it be fair for Mid-Continent to mirror the rates of Quest? Secondly, Quest rates are, they may be appropriate for Quest, and presumably they are, but they're not set in isolation. Quest rates have been negotiated as part of an overall regulatory scheme. And the analogy that I make in my testimony is the following. When I go and buy a new car and I come with a used car to trade in, obviously the value of the overall package, the price that I pay for my new car, is tied to the trade-in value of the car that I offer. The less I take for trade-in, chances are the lower a price I get for my new car. Now let's say that there's a third party standing by and somebody said, and let's say that I have negotiated a very low price for my new car because I'm willing to give up my old car for very little. Let's say that somebody else now picks out that new car price and says, well, Dr. Ankin paid only $10,000 for his new car. Well, the car dealer wouldn't go for that. And I don't think that any one of us would think that that would be a fair deal. Because if the other person doesn't bring a trade in, he's just picking and choosing one element out of an overall deal. And that's what staff is doing with respect to Mid-Continent, as I explained in my testimony. Quest rates and the rates of Sancom, which is another example that staff is holding out as a negotiated deal that Mid-Continent should be mirroring. Those deals have many components. Mid-Continent was not part of those deals. I would say almost in general, as a general statement, people that work out deals can live by those deals. But other people that are not part of those deals, were not an interested party in those deals, were not allowed to sit at the table, couldn't work out the details, and didn't get the quid pro quos, they should not be held to those deals. Now, what is the justification that I've seen in staff's testimony? There is no ground-up policy justification that staff is presenting to the Commission. Staff doesn't really explain why it would be good for Mid-Continent to not be able to recoup its costs. What staff does do, it points toward an old FCC policy going back to 2001, and that's the order, I believe, that was entered into the record this morning. That, as I explained in my testimony, that FCC policy has a number of flaws at this point. First, it's an old one, and it was adopted by the FCC very explicitly, not as a permanent policy that the FCC thought was great. No, rather, the FCC adopted it as a transitional policy. Now, why did it adopt it as a transitional policy? Because the FCC at the time was in a bind. It was faced with a number of complaint proceedings, and it was afraid that it would be overwhelmed by those complaint proceedings. So there was a resource constraint, as I point out in my testimony, referring back to the order, the FCC order. The complaint process at the FCC would be overwhelmed because they didn't have the staff to deal with examining the cost studies that would be filed by the CLX and that then would be examined by AT&T and Verizon and all the IXCs that were complaining about high rates. I don't think that any of those things are relevant to this commission. Mid-Continent did provide a study. We believe that study is transparent. It's based in Excel form. As we will discuss presumably later, it is what we refer to as the LECA model, which has been used by the incumbent local exchange companies. Staff is familiar with that model. In fact, staff is part of the architects of those models. So the resource constraints that the FCC held out are not valid here. Thirdly, the FCC policy is about to expire. The FCC has indicated that these tricky questions of how carriers should be charging each other, not at the retail level, where one of the commissioners was talking about, do you gain an advantage when you set rates lower than a competitor? Generally, of course, in the retail markets, a company does. If they set low rates, that translates into a competitive advantage. At the wholesale level, the dynamics are different. Companies need to recoup their cost. There's not necessarily a competitive advantage there. Now, the FCC is going to be coming to terms, finally after 7 or 8 years, with the larger overarching issues of intercarrier compensation. So staff is recommending to you that you adopt an FCC policy that is about to transpire, that was never intended to be permanent, never intended to be sound, and it has a host of complications with it, and that would deny a company like Midcontinent legitimate recovery of its cost. Staff also talks about, in implied terms, about the merit of mirroring other companies' cost, and I present in my other companies' exchange access rates, and I in my testimony also present some diagrams for you about where Swiss access rates are for various companies, and the notion there is that that the policy objective of having company like Midcontinent mirror the rates of other companies, there is an implied assumption there that that would create a uniformity, the kind of uniformity that you would expect in a retail market. The truth is, of course, that if you were to examine the Swiss access rates of local exchange carriers and CLECs, they are all over the board. And they should be all over the board. Because, again, they're wholesale rates, and they're intended to recover cost. And different companies have different costs. So you don't see the same pattern that you would see in a retail market where prices gravitate towards uniformity. So the uniformity isn't there, and it shouldn't be there. It's not a sound policy to pursue it. I think I've hit all my points that I made in my testimony, so let me say this concludes my summary.
Okay. Because staff has objected to Exhibits 3 and 7, I'd like to lay some foundation, if I may, to offer those exhibits.
Please do so.
First of all, would you take a look at Exhibit 3, please, which is the cost study?
Yes.
And is that, in printed form, a copy of the confidential cost study that QSI performed for Midcontinent?
Yes, I believe it is.
Just in case you are asked questions that require computation, do you also have the cost study in your computer?
Yes, I have it in an electronic form, and I would hope that to the extent staff has detailed questions about how various cells link, since obviously there's hundreds of pages of paper copy here, the linking of cells can be complex, and if I have an electronic version of it, I can answer questions better than if I have to do it based on hard copy.
Are you familiar with the methodology? First of all, what was the purpose of this cost study?
The purpose was to use an established model, established by the industry and by staff, to use that model to calculate what the costs were for Midcontinent. And again, this is all under the rubric of the notion. Under the rubric, or under the notion that we're dealing with Swiss access charges, and that those are wholesale charges that you charge to other carriers, and that a company should be entitled to recover its legitimately incurred cost. So in order to answer that question, and it's like, what are the costs that Midcontinent is incurring? And for that purpose, we use what we refer to as the LECA model.
Okay. So if I'm understanding your testimony correctly, the purpose was to take GAAP accounting and reform it to emulate the commission's rules on access rates. Would that be correct?
Yes. The purpose was, as I stated, and one of the steps we had to go through, as explained by Mr. Simmons as well this morning, is that Midcontinent doesn't use the USOA accounting because CLECs were presumptively competitive and therefore not to be regulated the way that incumbent carriers were. Most CLECs that I'm familiar with use GAAP generally accepted accounting principles accounting, and the LECA model is predicated on USOA accounting. Now, in the end, of course, we're just talking about dollars. We're not talking about apples and oranges. But the way that the dollars are booked to the accounts of the company, the names of the accounts are somewhat different. So you had to translate the GAAP accounts to the USOA accounts. So what we did as QSI we build a module that precedes the LECA model and that accomplishes that transformation from GAAP accounting to USOA accounting. Once that is done, we have everything, all the dollars are now in the USOA buckets. At that point, it flows through the LECA model in precisely the same way that it flows through the LECA model if an ILEC comes in here and presents it to the staff. So staff should be completely familiar with that process.
Now, we've heard testimony earlier that QSI has extensive experience in developing costs. Tell us a little bit about why the commission should admit this evidence, this cost study into evidence in terms of its reliability as compared to the commission's rules, what you've referred to as the LECA model rules.
Given the turn that this this application has taken, i.e., the resistance of staff to granting Mid-Continent its initial request for the 11.5 cents, the resistance there led, I believe, Mid-Continent to say then, well, then I will prove up my cost through a cost study. This is the cost study that the commission has before it. And as to the question of the validity of the study, again, I say the study is uses the model that is developed in the industry. It's fully consistent with the rules that you have on the books for incumbent local exchange carriers. And again, I like to emphasize to you that if you read your own rules, everything in these rules speaks to the fact that when a company incurs cost and it's providing service to other companies on a wholesale basis, the notion is that the company is entitled to recover its cost. Now, that doesn't mean that you have to write a blank check. I don't think that commissions ever do that. But the premise for the analysis should be a recovery of legitimately incurred cost. Now, the ILECs use the LECA model for that. So in discussions with Mid-Continent, we decided that if that is what is good enough for the incumbent LECs, and if that is what the commission uses to examine cost, let us use the LECA model for two purposes. First, because we don't then have to debate over the merit of how you allocate certain accounts. All of that is taken care of. Mid-Continent is not quibbling about that. We're just accepting what the ILECs are doing. If staff has had involvement in constructing the model, so we thought that it would find acceptance with staff. So that's one of the main purposes. Secondly, we had prepared an alternative model based on long-run incremental cost, which, of course, is the methodology used for unbundled network elements. But those costs came out higher. So we thought that, again, we were being conservative once the results for the LECA model came out lower, that we would be using those results. And in short, I believe that this model is familiar to staff. It is what is used by incumbent LECs. We have not made the judgments about how to allocate certain accounts because that's already given to us. So we believe this is about an objective a representation of Mid-Continent's cost as we could come up with.
Just one final question. Has QSI done other cost studies? Switched access cost studies?
Yes. Doing cost studies is the bread and butter for QSI, and we have been involved in proceedings in, I would say at this point, all 50 states in the country in cost proceedings for different incumbent local exchange carriers. We have prepared cost studies ourselves for incumbent local exchange carriers and for competitive local exchange carriers. We have a long history of doing that.
Have you also prepared
long history of doing that?
Right. Have you also prepared cost studies for commissions? On behalf of commissions,
we have reviewed cost. We have assisted a number of commissions in reviewing cost studies for a variety of services. Yes, I don't think we have ever been asked. Well, commissions don't offer service, so in that sense, no, we haven't done it for a commission, but we have assisted commissions.
I'm going too fast. I just can't quite hear you with the door. So you said I don't think we've ever been asked in the commission.
And then I restarted my sentence, and I said, commissions don't offer services, so we don't. We have never done cost studies for commissions themselves, but we have assisted many commissions in reviewing cost studies. Sorry, I'll try to speak slower.
With that, Mr. Chairman, members of the Commission, we'll offer exhibit number 3, which is the confidential switched access cost study.
Staff.
Thank you. This staff would object for a number of reasons. And are we on or off the web? Because
we are on.
We are on. Okay. It's an incomplete cost study, and I would quote the direct testimony of Warren Fisher, where he states that Mid-Continent has never had to develop these factors in the normal course of business. Estimates were developed for certain essential physical allocation factors based on Mid-Continent's actual usage and billing data. And then in...
Council, could you give me the page and...
Oh, I'm sorry, page 12 of Warren Fisher's direct...
Thank
lines
you.
209 through 211. And then in Mid-Continent's first response to staff's data requests, which is confidential, so you should probably go off the internet.